Hello and welcome to the V2 Football Podcast.
Into Sheringham, and Solskjaer has done it!
Leicester City have won the Premier League.
Scholes against Emil Heskey, could it be five? Yes it is!
Frank De Boer singing out Dennis Bergkamp. Oh, that's brilliant!
Host Anthony Kendrick. I'm delighted to be joined by Andy Clark.
Evening.
And Shane Lees.
Hello.
You guys both well?
Good, thanks yourself.
I'm alright, yeah. Shane?
I mean, I can't complain other than, you know, Southampton. But that's we'll get to that.
Yeah.
There's plenty of time.
We'll get to that. We'll get to Sunderland as well and we'll see if Andy's still feeling alright.
I've never been alright.
Not for a few years anyway.
No, definitely not.
I just want to start mentioning a club that is doing all right, Burnley. A few quick stories just to start the show off. Outside the nearby pub, outside the Princess Royal outside, is being renamed the Royal Dyche because Burnley on the brink of European football, and the owners said they would. They've also said if Sean Dyche turns up to the pub, he can have a free pint. Personally, I think he deserves a bit more than that. But...
give him
a chaser on top.
A top shelfer.
To be fair, he strikes me as the sort of person who'd like to down a pitcher looking at him.
Yeah, I reckon he's the total opposite. I'm reckon he's the kind of guy who's teetotal and eats lettuce. Just nothing but lettuce. It's going to be that kind of twist, isn't it? And you know, you can have Guardiola who loves a kebab.
I imagine him as a wine guy.
Also, there's been talk about match day programmes in the Football League. At the moment, it's mandatory for clubs to produce them for every game, and there's certain advertising requirements they have to fulfil. However, the EFL are considering making it an optional requirement from next season. You guys got any thoughts on match programmes? Do you buy them, or do you care about them, or do you think they're important?
I'd say, in my view, it's on the one hand, I can totally get it. If clubs are getting to a point now where financially it's not viable for them to create these programmes, because they essentially either have to do the publishing and creation themselves or farm out to someone else who's going to, you know, charge them a bomb to do that, then that kind of makes sense to me. But it is sad on the traditional sense of things. But also, if you look back historically, clubs, you know, 100 years ago, even the lower league ones were able to put out match programmes without much difficulty. It kind of highlights how delicate the financial situation is for some of these lower league clubs that is getting to this point now, which kind of, I think, highlights that in some ways in football, the organisation of it, it's gotten all a bit too much now. We've kind of lost the basics of it and we've gotten a bit too far away from it.
Pretty much sums it up, really. That says everything. There's not really much else to add to that.
Okay. Do you think there's an argument with social media, though, that the idea of a programme is outdated, that you can look at the teams on social media and clubs can put interviews with the players or whatever on their Facebook pages or whatever, and also do the EFL advertising?
That's not the same, though, is it? It's having something in your hand. It's a memento from the match. Otherwise, the only way to ever tell historically you went to it is by your memories. When you have something in your hands,
your
it's different.
Ticket.
And it's part of the nostalgia of these trips.
You got the match ticket, though. I collect them. I keep them for all my games and have them on a pin board.
I don't know. I'm a traditionalist when it comes to football, as we well know on this podcast. I look at this and think, it's kind of sad it's got to this point. And yeah, I don't agree with this whole, it's all got to be on social media, it's all got to be online. There are a lot of fans who are not going to have that access to it. We forget that being in the country of England, where we're pretty happy. We think everyone's, you know, got enough money and all of that lot to go by. But for some fans, they don't. They simply don't. And you've got to remember, this is a working class man's game. So I think the further away we pull it from the fans, financially or otherwise, then I think we're losing a little bit more of the soul of the game.
Okay. Move on to Rio Ferdinand. A story from Chris has sent me. He's had his boxing license application rejected, so he's hanging up his gloves, putting an end to the defender to contender challenge he was promoting. Bit of a shame, but hypothetically, I'd have loved to have seen him fight John Terry in the ring or something like that.
That would be good. But at least you can see he never lost.
True.
Here's one. How the hell did Freddie Flintoff get a boxing license, but Rio Ferdinand didn't?
Well, Ferdinand said he was disappointed because he didn't get the opportunity to prove himself in like a, I think there's like a physical test he has to do, and they didn't allow him to do that, so he wasn't very happy. But
to be, I mean, I'll be fair. One, I would have liked to have seen him get his head kicked in. That would have been fun. But it's a bit disrespectful to the sport of boxing if you've got these has-beens in other sports turning around and going, oh, I'll just chance my arm at this, as if it's something you can just chance your arm at. It's not. You've got to be a professional to actually do any kind of well. Him saying he'd have liked to have won a belt. Are you kidding me? Go away, Ferdinand.
There's no chance he'd have won a belt, but I think you could have had some sort of entertaining, you know, like charity sort of thing. I think it could have done quite well. But yeah, to win a belt would be... Could you imagine flooring Joshua or, you know...
He'd definitely get belted around, that's for sure.
I can imagine Joshua punching him and him inverting into nothingness. like divide by zero in real life. He just collapses into himself.
Going to move on to discuss Sunderland. Been relegated from the Championship when Chris Coleman's left, as we've got a Sunderland fan on tonight. What are your thoughts on the situation? I apologise for bringing this up, but I feel I've got to.
Well, it's got to be quite a bit at some point. Why not now? To be fair, it's come quite out of the blue at the minute, because we didn't think the club was going to be sold, to be honest, yet. We were still waiting to be down. The summer potentially gone before even anything had happened, but for it to happen so quick and for it to be dropped a part of the seal has come as a bit of a surprise, to be honest.
Mm. Pleased with it, or...?
Oh, the seal, definitely, because we had a chairman there who had just lost interest. He packed up, gone back to America, and it was a good thing. He was fine. He was putting the money in to keep the club running, but he wasn't bothered with it anymore. So we needed a fresh start from the top all the way down. Mm. I'm quite surprised we had to get rid of Coleman, but if you look at his record, he's won about 5 games this season. So he hasn't even proved that he can do anything with this club yet. But I would have given the chance next season, but see what happens. It's exciting times now, I think.
I tell you what, there's good news in one way, because it will be one of the most interesting teams to be on Football Manager. You know, when you're doing the rags to riches. I tell you what, as being a Southampton fan, that's the one thing I've hated us about being in the Premier League. I can't take us up on Football Manager anymore. It's no fun if you're just taking over a Premier League club. Suddenly, I guarantee you, the first team I'm going to be on the next game.
You might see a few more on the Football Manager site. Actually, doing Sunderland stories now. Hey.
Exactly. It's good. There's silver linings to everything.
I don't think Chris Coleman had much of a chance, though, with them, no matter what he did, to be honest. I think it was a bit of a poison chalice, and it was obviously a lot more difficult in real life than it is on Real Manager.
See, you look at other managers that came before, like Allardyce turned the team around, but the last few managers, no matter who came in, just none of them did anything. Simon Grayson won once, Coleman won 5 times, David Moyes didn't really give a toss.
I think
it's
you know. There are silver linings when you go down in this sort of way, because the players who are on those bigger contracts, there's no way they can possibly stay at the club. If anyone new comes in, I'll wager they give it their best to actually mutually terminate those contracts.
Who's going to take them players?
But the thing is, even if you just terminate their contracts and say, right, get out of here, we'll pay you off, you're done now. But I think Sunderland do have an opportunity to do a proper refresh now. You know, bring through some of the younger players, sign some players that are actually going to suit for the club. Because even when they went down, they didn't have that chance. If you go down again, there's players there who will not even want to be associated with a League One team. So it potentially could turn out to be a half decent thing for the club.
I think that's better for us, because we need a complete clear out. Everything about that club needs clearing. Mm. From top to bottom and starting afresh. So hopefully, with all this in place now, we'll see something totally different next season. Mm-hmm. You think all of these clubs have gone down before, the likes of your Man Cities, they've come bouncing back up. It is possible.
Just look at Wigan last season, and well, this season, I suppose, they're looking highly likely to get promoted, and yeah.
Blackburn. There's another one.
Yeah.
So hopefully we turn to one of those teams where we move back up rather than dropping further back down, like your Coventry's gone right the way backwards. Portsmouth they're about coming back up potentially, but they haven't done anything yet. So hopefully we're not one of those teams.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and moving on from there, Stephen Gerrard said he's had initial talks with Rangers, which have gone reasonably well.
Don't really know, to be honest. I don't know. It's one of those things. He had the passion for Liverpool, but he never really, in England, but he didn't really do anything else otherwise. So it's like him going into manage. Has he had any coaching? Any coaching jobs yet? So just gone straight into it.
He's just, I think he was a youth coach at Liverpool. He's been a youth coach at Liverpool for a bit, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's been under something or other's manager. I think it's a stupid move for Gerrard. I don't know about Rangers, because Rangers, they're going to be second fiddle to Celtic for a number of years now. They need so much time to catch up to them financially. They're kind of in a position a bit like what a lot of the Italian clubs were with Juventus. Mm. They're just vacuuming off all of the other talent from the other clubs before they even get a chance. It takes years and concerted effort from groups of teams to actually slowly close that gap down. I think Gerrard is... he's not being smart if he takes this position, because even if he finishes second for the next 3 years, it's not good enough for the Rangers board and it's not good enough for the fans. He's not going to beat Celtic either. He's not going to beat them to the title. That's not going to happen for years. They're just not good enough. They don't have the financial backing yet. So him going there, it's kind of a guaranteed it's ending in a sacking. Mm. That's the only way I see that going. Even if they go out there and they play some really wonderful football, finishes second, maybe, you know, comes in the final in the cup there, I still can't see how it ends in any other way other than a sacking or moving somewhere else. But then who would take a chance on him? It's only Scotland. You might as well stay managing the Liverpool youth team. Because the clubs that, like, you know, the championship level clubs, like MK Dons, who came in from before, they'd still have been interested in him. But that's going to Rangers and playing some nice football is not going to make a Premier League club go, oh, actually, maybe he is good enough. It's not going to make a difference. I don't understand why he's making this move. I think it's probably just because it's come up at this time.
It's probably the stature of the club, I think, as well. If you think it's Rangers, a lot of people know Rangers, so it's a good start, but I think it all depends on the patience of the Rangers board, whether they'll give him the time to try and overhaul Celtic, no matter how long it takes. If they're going to just take him on a couple of seconds, sack him, no manager's going to have a chance with that club.
Well, I think we look at their track record the last couple of years, they've not really been giving anyone the time. It's been very short-term thinking.
That's a problem he's got, I think. It's just they've got to be patient if they're going to give him the job, to see if he can do anything with it. If they want to just give him a season, he doesn't win the league and sack him, there's not much point. No one's going to want to go there.
Well, I mean, hopefully they do. I mean, I'm very much a Rangers person when it comes to Scottish football, so I bloody well hope it works out. But I can't see how this really made sense to anyone.
Mm. I'm surprised you care about Scottish football.
Only Rangers.
I take your point about he'd have to, you know, win the league, and that's nigh on impossible to beat the Celtic side. However, Brendan Rodgers is quite a strong contender for the Arsenal job. And, you know, if he does get Rangers playing good football and gets them to a strong second place finish, I do think that could be beneficial as a career move for him, potentially. But, yeah. Just kind of sticking with Gerrard, there's some talk about him potentially getting a promotion at Liverpool. Jurgen Klopp's assistant manager, Zeljko Buvac, I think I've pronounced that about right, is out of the club for the rest of the season. There's some debate about whether it's a personal matter or whether he had a row.
He's becoming the next Sunderland manager. He's well, in the odds there for.
Well, he's the favourite. The weird thing is he's become favourite to take over the Arsenal, and he's been strongly linked with that. So whether he ends up there next season, that would be a left field move from Arsenal, you'd have to say.
I tell you what, if I'm Steven Gerrard, I'd think take the assistant manager's job, wait until Klopp either leaves or gets sacked. Because if he leaves, you've probably got the option to go with him. Or you've got the option to maybe take on in an interim basis, try and impress, be a Liverpool manager. If he gets sacked, which will eventually happen, doesn't matter if he wins the Champions League this year, if it all goes to crap next year, let's face it, the Premier League's very short term. But again, he's got maybe a couple of games to strut his stuff, show what he can do. At the very least, that's you know, for the likes of Tim Sherwood and everyone else, that's impressive enough to get another kind of job in the Premier League. Mm. So you've got that option, or you could end up being Liverpool manager, which is, I'm sure, what his ultimate ambition is. I think that is a much clearer route to getting that job than it is going to Rangers. Because if it goes wrong, it's going to look like a disaster. His first job goes to absolute hell. He can be a terrible assistant manager at Liverpool. It's not really going to make the news. You don't hear about bad assistant managers. You only hear about the good ones. So I think he's kind of got nothing really to lose if he did have that option to go and be the assistant manager at Liverpool. I think that's a much better option. Mm-hmm.
Okay, we'll come on to talk about Liverpool and the Champions League semi-finals after this. First, we're going to go on to the quiz, which this week Shane is hosting.
Yes, okay. So it's going to work a little bit differently this week to some of the other weeks. So we've got a simple question. I'll go on to it in a moment. There's seven potential answers to this one. We're going to go Anthony and then Andy, and it's just going to go like that. However, whoever loses will get a bonus question, where if they can answer it correctly, they will win. However, the person who originally won also gets a bonus question, which if they answer correctly, they can win. I'll say it now, the bonus questions are impossibly difficult. So good luck on that one. But the overall question for the quiz is, who are the major European clubs to have never won a European trophy? That's either the Europa League or the Champions League. So there's seven clubs I've got here. Anthony, we're going to start with you.
Major European clubs who haven't won Champions League or Europa League. PSG?
PSG are one of them.
Ooh, 1 point. Surprised at that.
Yeah, for all of their money, they've never won a European trophy.
Lazio.
Who was that?
Lazio.
Lazio. No, I believe they have won the Europa Cup once.
How did can I just ask how you got major European clubs? What is there like a criteria or something, or is it just
the criteria clubs? Is that they are sufficiently major.
Okay.
The big teams in that country, basically.
Yeah, more or less. I'll give you a clue. There's all of these teams you'll know them as being one of the biggest teams in that country.
Okay.
Right.
And we're talking big leagues in Europe here.
Yeah. That's all.
Yeah. Okay. Dortmund?
No. Oh. I think they've won Champions League before, maybe, or Europa League.
That was going to be my next answer. At the same time.
There's some even more obvious ones here.
I've got one in my head, Bob. I was going to go with Napoli. But I'll go with that. I'm just thinking whether they won it when Maradona was. Was Maradona was there?
Are you going with Napoli?
Yes.
No.
Did they win it when he was there? Was it before?
You got six more teams.
Yeah, this is going really well.
This could be
there are at least three you should get here.
Man City,
that is one. Never won in Europe. Seems obvious, I've only because they've only been in it for a couple of years.
Ever gone to Premier League teams and never thought of Man City. I mean, Man U, Liverpool, Arsenal, for God's sake. Did Tottenham ever win it?
Are you going with Tottenham?
Oh, I say I'm wrong. Go for it.
You are wrong.
Yay. I'm doing well so far. 3 for 3.
Don't worry, you'll still have the bonus option. You both got two more guesses. Anthony, if you get one more, you'll have won this round until the bonuses.
Let's go Marseille.
Marseille, that is wrong. Oh. Okay, Andy, I'm going to give you a hint. One of these clubs, you've already said them. You just didn't go for them.
I've already said them?
Yep.
Arsenal,
correct.
Hey.
Arsenal have not ever won a European trophy. Okay, this is your last guess, Anthony. Well, hang on. I'm going to give you both some hints for your last guess each. In terms of clubs we've got left, there is one Italian team, two French teams, and one Portuguese team.
Well, that was my next answer.
I was just going through the Portuguese teams. I think Sporting have won it. Porto have definitely won it. I think Sporting have won. Benfica must have. No. Because United. I'll go Benfica, but.
That is wrong. They have actually won several Champions Leagues. In fact, they are one of the. They've actually won quite a few Champions Leagues, I think.
Well, I'll take Sporting, because I was actually going to go for Sporting Lisbon in the three.
That is correct. Okay. I tell you what, to settle this then, we're 2-0. We're going to go for the bonus question straight away. The other answers you could have had, by the way, were Roma.
So, what was it in the country? France.
Yeah, Leon, France right? Was Lyon and Monaco. So Lyon, Monaco and Roma were the other teams you could have had.
I thought they'd go with the UEFA Cup, because I know they got beat in the Champions League final at Porto, but I thought they'd won the European Cup as well. That's why I never went for it.
Well, the bonus question then, to decide who wins. Now, this is a tough one, because we're going with the concept of clubs which are failures. I want you to name me, and it's going to be whoever gets there first, name me the club who has never won a single trophy in English football. Now, this club is in the top four divisions of English football. They have never won a single trophy. So they've got promoted several times without ever winning the league. They've never won the League Cup, never won the FA Trophy, and never won the FA Cup.
Coventry.
Not won a single thing. Who are we going to go for?
Fool.
So they've never won, say, League Two or League One?
Huh?
They've never won.
They've actually pretty much finished second the whole entire time.
Yeah, they're in the top four leagues.
Team that's never won a thing.
Oh my god. I don't know.
This could be anything. I'm just going to throw Rotherham. I don't have a clue.
I'll say Coventry because I know they've never finished in the top couple of. I know they've never finished in the top six. So I'll say Coventry.
Okay, you're both wrong. Huh. So I'm going to give you another. I'm going to give you another hint. They have been in the news recently for a very obscure reason.
Blackpool?
No.
Oh. I was thinking about the stag do. There was a 35.
Rochdale.
Rochdale is the correct answer.
Spanish Dale, get in there.
Yeah, Spanish Dale.
Spanish Dale. Rochdale are the correct answer. They're in League One. They're currently looking like going down, but they've never won a single trophy. They've made it all the way to League One without ever winning a league. I think that is deeply impressive. Anthony, would you like the other bonus question just to see if you can salvage this?
We may as well give it a go, see what
happens.
Yeah,
okay. There is another team that have done this, and the only other team I could find in Europe who have managed to do this are a Danish first division team. So this is the league below the Danish top division. Can you tell me who that team is?
I'm glad you told me it was a Danish second division side, to be honest, because, yeah, I might have been struggling otherwise. They've probably won many titles, I'd imagine. But just because I know them, I'm going to say Brøndby. It's probably
no. Brøndby are the most successful club in Denmark.
I don't know if it's a team called. I don't think Norwegian swing Silkeborg or. I'm just throwing a random name out there.
That's Norwegian.
It is Norwegian.
The Danish team in question is a team called FC Fredericia. They've done the exact same thing as Rochdale. They've made it to the division below the Super League without having ever won anything meaningful whatsoever. So there's only two teams in Europe I could find for that. So Andy, you win that first round with Rochdale.
Thank you. Yeah, you took my second guess. That was, good question.
Don't worry, if you thought that was difficult, the second round of the quiz, which is happening later, is going to be much harder.
Was it German League 3?
Oh no, it's even more obscure.
Oh, look forward to it. I'm just learning knowledge now with German low league teams, French low league teams a lot.
You got 20 minutes to do some revision before the next round.
I'll quickly click my phone about for a bit.
Right, anyway, I want to go back to Liverpool and talk about Champions League semi-finals. First of all, Liverpool lost their game against Roma 4-2. However, they went through 7-6 on aggregate. It was the most goals ever seen in a Champions League semi-final with 13 in total. What did you make of Liverpool's performance, first of all?
I mean, apart from a very freak goal by Dejan Lovren / James Milner, I never actually thought they were in that much trouble. I mean, it looks bad when they go and lose 4-2 and you think, oh God, they were only one goal away from it. They got the early goal, which was exactly what they needed to do. They really restricted Roma's, clear-cut chances. It was a penalty that shouldn't have been a penalty. Admittedly, there was one earlier in the game where it definitely should have been a penalty. I felt they seemed fairly comfortable. Yeah, you also had a 9-goal, which was, absolutely unstoppable. There's no way around that. But they never really looked like they were losing it. And when you look at the score, it does seem that way. But if you were actually watching the game, yes, they made defensive mistakes. But we're looking at the Champions League. Which team has actually not made defensive mistakes in the entire competition? There's not a single one. I mean, you watched Bayern the other night and they were all over the place. Real Madrid have been all over the place the entire competition. Barcelona have been conceding goals for fun. Roma away from home have been conceding goals for fun. So there's no team that have been doing all right defensively. So I don't really buy this whole Liverpool need to sort out their defence to win this. No team has been doing that this season. Not a single team. So let's get that out of our heads immediately and say this is an attack fest this Champions League season, which is exactly what we want as fans. We don't want teams sitting back and defending. We want them all going for it. As much as people can say, oh, it's not a perfect performance, they did the job. We're turning around and we're saying for Real Madrid, if they're getting through not playing at their best, that shows just how good they are. Why aren't we saying the same thing for Liverpool? So, but yeah, I think they've done a hell of a good job to get to the final. As much as I wish it was almost any other English team to go and do it, I hope they win, because my God, Real Madrid do not deserve it. Those diving, cheating bastards.
With Liverpool, you say it's good to see them attacking and such, and they shouldn't sit back and defend, and I agree with you to a point. However, Liverpool need to control games at some point, surely. They need to, you know, sometimes they need to accept they can't just play gung-ho. I agree with you that it wasn't really in doubt. I thought Roma had a good start to the second half, and they could have scored another goal, really, and that would have made it interesting. But I think Liverpool have got to adapt to occasions and sometimes change and be more cautious and just think, at this point, we just need to not concede a goal.
Yeah, but playing a little bit smarter. I do agree that they need to get a bit better at that. But in that game, I don't see any other version of it. I don't see how it went a different way, because Roma were skipping out of the midfield. They didn't care about getting the ball into the midfielders. It was either the midfielders get it with one touch and they're going straight forward, or it's hitting the wings and they're going straight forward. So there's no version of it where, you know, Liverpool are going to be able to keep that ball in the middle of the park, because you watch what happened for, you know, some parts of that game. When the ball was going into middle, the pressure was so high, teams were getting tackled, hit on the break straight away. So you can't sort of slow the play down by passing around the defence up near the halfway line or passing around them. But it's not going to work in a game like that, where one mistake will cost you everything. You've got to start attacking, because you just need the ball up that side of the pitch. Because that way, when it does come back on you, hopefully you'll have defenders back there who are, like Van Dijk and Lovren, taller, stronger and better than the other strikers. They can win those balls, get those balls out to the midfielders, who get it wide, you can go attack again. So as much as people say, oh, they could have controlled the game more, in that, look at the exact same game with Real Madrid and Bayern Munich. None of these teams were ever in any control at any point. The ball was not spending any time in the centre of the park. That wasn't how those games were going. You can't play against a team and play a controlled game when the other team refuses to do it. If the other team's insisting on chaos, you've got to balance that. Otherwise, you're gonna get done. You're gonna have what Man City happened to them. Mm-hmm. They tried to play in the middle of the park in that first game. They tried to control it. It didn't work at all. So yeah, I don't really buy it.
Okay. And also from that game, the Roma chief executive said that he demanded that VAR was introduced for next season. He said it'll be a catastrophe if it's not. They were a bit unlucky on the night. I think even Liverpool fans would concede that they should have had at least one other penalty, and perhaps were. On balance, they didn't really get the decisions they could have got. Where do you stand on VAR in the Champions League next season? Do you think it should be introduced?
No, I think you should leave it out. I think it should just stick it to... Because they've had the thing where they put the linesmen on the line. Is that going to replace them? Have they got rid of that now?
They're still there, but overall, I think they've been rather ineffective.
I mean, I am a fan of VAR. I do think it does need to be introduced. All this, you know, stuff, people, you know, complaining about it, all it is implementation problems. Every other sport has found a way to bring it in. Has found a way to bring in electronic referees and all of that lot. Football is no exception. Football is not special. We can do it. We just need to not be morons about it. The current way we've gone about it, yeah, we have been morons about it. This whole, the fans have no idea what's going on. We've not mic'd up the refs. Get rid of all of that bollocks. Let's just do it properly. Just do exactly what rugby do and it will be fine. That is the simplest and most obvious solution. Just literally copy them, because their game works in the same sort of way. There's also a game where it doesn't have that many stoppages, not actually when you practically watch it. So there's a clear way of doing it. But with Roma complaining about it, the penalty they got given for them wasn't a penalty. There was one earlier which should have been, but also they completely pushed Sadio Mane to the floor earlier in the game, so they should have had one against them. So that's just sour grapes. There was nothing in that game, but VAR would have won it for them. It would have kept it pretty much exactly the same. But I do agree VAR needs to eventually come in. We just need to not be morons about it. That's the only issue about it at the moment, is we're doing it in an impractical way.
Yeah. See, we can't just rely on it full stop. We've got to trust the decisions of the referee as well, and it's got to be used more sparingly. Do you just stop the game if they think the referees are too on the decision? Do you wait till it goes out of play still? You've got to balance it. Part of the time trust the referee, but part of the time it needs to come to play, because there's too much money in football, and some decisions are costing teams fortunes now, and that's the problem we've got.
Yeah, I think you go to a challenge system. I think that's one of the big things. You either go challenge system, or if the referee really isn't sure about it, he can say, right, no, I need to go to VAR. Otherwise, you give captains two challenges, you do a correct challenge, get your challenge back. Simple as that. It stays on the pitch. You mic up the refs. And for one of the big things I really want to see introduced is get rid of all this extra time crap. Stop the watch. time wasting goes, all of that's gone. You know, Real Madrid wasting a solid 12 minutes in the last, you know, 15 minutes of the game in their game, gone out the window. Can't do it anymore. You can't play like shit and get away with it. You can't do that. You actually got to play football. So stop the clock, and then you've solved almost all the problems by doing it that way.
Is it making subs? Is it people having time off for making subs? Why don't you just like say, stop the watch, let them make a sub that can take as long as they want to walk off, as quick as they want, and then restart when the game restarts?
Yeah, and us football fans, I don't see why any fan would have a problem with it. We get the proper 90 minutes at the moment. There was a study done last year, which they said they reckon that in a game of football, the ball's actually only in play for about 65 minutes. In some games, it's far less. So we're not getting our tickets worth. We're not getting our, you know, our subscriptions on Sky worth. We want 90 minutes of football, surely. So stop a watch, that solves everything. And it really helps if we do introduce VAR then. Because we haven't got that whole, oh, we're waiting for 2 minutes and now what's going to happen? Are we adding 7 minutes of extra time every time? No, out of the question then. Solved. Done. Put me in charge of FIFA.
I completely agree with the idea of stopping the clock. However, we did, when that study came out, and I remember we discussed it on the podcast, and I did a Twitter poll of which, because they were on about proposing we change the matches to 60 minutes long, but every time the ball goes out of play, we stop the clock because the average match was about 65 odd minutes, something like that, but it was that. Anyway, on Twitter, it was broadly, everyone voted against it, didn't like the idea, and generally it got a lot of, quite a bit of criticism. I personally agree with it. I think it's a good idea to stop the clock, but I don't know.
I think we stop the clock. Would you say fouls and substitutions is about all you stop it for?
Stop it every time the ball goes out of play was the proposal that we...
For throw-ins, I wouldn't. Throw-ins and goal kicks, everything, I wouldn't. I think you're more looking at stops for fouls and substitutions.
Throw-ins and goal kicks. Yeah, throw-ins and goal kicks, you just enforce the six-second rule. You got to do it in 6 seconds. If a player violates that yellow card, that was the dumbest yellow card you could have got all season. So stick with the 6 seconds rule on that one. And yeah, for everything else, I think you can stop the play. And as well, I think one of the things we saw in the Real Madrid game was Rodriguez kicked the ball out when one of the Real Madrid players was down injured. It wasn't a head injury. He got cramp in his leg. And I think we need to clear up the rules for players, especially when they need to kick the ball out and when they don't. Because Real Madrid took the piss in that game. And it's not just them. There are tons and tons of clubs that do it. Almost every single one. I've seen us do it. I've seen Southampton do this time-wasting tactics. I hate it. It's one of the worst things in the game. As a fan, it makes it difficult to watch. You don't want to watch that. So imagine for like new fans coming into it, imagine for young fans, that's got to be one of the most frustrating things to go and watch. You're watching your team go, you know, you're chasing down a goal and the other team are just spending all this time. Oh, we're injured. Oh, we're subbed. Oh, there's a corner coming. I had to jump and I've got a head injury despite that nothing touched my head. Why are you going to want to watch that? If you're
you've had an eyelash in your eye before. It's painful.
Yeah, but it's just there was one bit in that Real Madrid game where three of the players went down in the box after a corner. It was like the 85th minute, and literally none of them headed the ball. None of them got challenged.
That's a Stalin tactic.
I couldn't honestly believe that it wasn't called up after the game either, where they said, "Look at how stupid this is." No one mentioned it, and I couldn't believe it. Awful.
Anyway. It is.
With Real Madrid, they were very lucky to get through, I think, once again. Drew 2-2 with Bayern Munich, and overall with this Champions League, they've not really played well. It's not been the great football, but do you make them favourites to win a third Champions League in a row in the final against Liverpool?
I don't.
I would put them as favourites, but I think it's how Liverpool call them. I think they've got to show themselves defensively if they can. And try and control that game, because I think it's going to be a totally different game to Roma, because Roma had three goals to chase, which Roma didn't have the time to pass the ball around, and they would have to get a forward and get goals fast. So you'll see a totally different game in this final. But I would say, based on everything, I would say Real Madrid would be the favourites.
I mean, I think one of the things, even though Real Madrid are like almost the king bastards of football, I have to say this whole thing about they don't deserve it, look at the teams they've knocked out. They've knocked out pretty much the champions of all of the major leagues to go and get here. They definitely deserve it. You don't get to a final by chance. That doesn't happen. Doesn't matter if you're Wigan getting to an FA Cup final. You've got to earn your place there. So they might have been lucky. And yes, Bayern deserved it over the two legs. They did play better football, but also they made horrendous mistakes. The amount of touches that were going misplaced in the box was honestly shocking for that level of football. I don't know what Ribery was doing. He was having an awful game in that. It weren't both of them, just the amount of times he touched the ball into a Real Madrid player's path. So this idea of a Real Madrid didn't deserve it, that's crap. But on the balance of the game that's going to happen with Liverpool, I think it's going to be attack for attack. Real Madrid don't know how to defend either. They are good at working a game out. But I think against Liverpool's attack, you can't really work it out. You've just got to see if you can score more. And as good as I think the likes of Ronaldo are, I think when you skip out the midfield for Real Madrid, which is exactly what Liverpool do, that's when you really start to disengage them. And I think with the wide players they have and the likes of Marcelo and all of that not going forward, both teams are going to get exposed. But I just fancy Liverpool to be able to score more goals than them. They've got more options to score goals rather than Real Madrid have got fewer. And I think that's what it will come down to for me.
Okay, fair enough. I think Real Madrid will win it, but I guess that's the boring answer. I think we'll see a very entertaining game and quite a few goals, hopefully.
I hope they will win it just for being English.
Not another Spanish team as well. Like, I really want an English team to win it, but not another Spanish team and not bloody Real Madrid of all of them.
Do you not like the idea of a team winning the Champions League three times in a row?
They won the first five Champions Leagues in a row. Bugger them. They've had their fun.
So, yeah, on to round two of the quiz, we'll show.
Right, okay, if you thought that first one was hard, this one is even more difficult. Now, the way this is going to work is you've got to tell me clubs in Europe who've gone on to have winless seasons. So I want the names of clubs who have gone an entire season without registering a single win. Now, from what I could tell, I've looked at 21 leagues in Europe, so we're looking at the top divisions only. 21 leagues in Europe, there's only 10 teams who've ever done this. Before each time you answer, you can ask me one of the countries it's happened in, and I will tell you. So you've got that option.
But I was breathing in Scotland, but doesn't count.
It won't help you. So you can ask me the name of one of the countries, and that means hopefully by number 10 you should know all of the countries and should get at least one. So Andy, you won. Do you want to go first?
I'll let Anthony go first.
Oh, thanks.
All right. Would you like to know one of the countries?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. I'm going to give you Scotland. There's a team in Scotland who didn't win a single game in a season. it's quite a while ago they did this, but there you go.
Okay.
You can name another team.
Yeah, I'm going to miss the Scotland team. I probably should go for a Scottish. I don't know. I'll guess Partick Thistle.
That's a very strange guess. It's incorrect. I'm not going to tell you who it is, but
a strange guess.
A strange guess. Okay, Andy, do you want to know one of the countries?
Yes, go for it. What's the next one?
Okay, I'm going to give you the most recent country to have done this. Turkey. There was a Turkish club, the most recent one to have done it.
I said Dundee.
It's not Dundee. Anthony, do you want to know the name of another country?
Yeah, sure.
Switzerland.
I'm just trying to think of FIFA and teams who are...
That's what I've been trying to do, and I can't think of any.
Yeah. Another big hint is that there's none of the major countries have got a club in this.
Oh,
so none of French, German, Italian, Spanish, English teams.
I was just about to guess a German side I know finished bottom with a crap points total. So yeah, I'm glad you've said that.
There are teams in here you will know, by the way. There are definitely teams you'll know.
Okay.
So far we know Scotland, Switzerland and Turkey have all got clubs who've done this.
Right, I'm going to guess the Turkish one. Akhiraspor.
That's an interesting guess. No. Again, Turkey are the most recent ones who have done this. The Turkish one, for a hint, happened in the 2009-10 season. Mm. The oldest one that's happened in 1891.
Alright.
So, Andy, I want to know another one.
Yeah, we'll have another one.
Belgium. There's a Belgian club who's done this.
Alright, I'm trying to think. I don't know if I'm going to go Belgium, though. I think Switzerland... I'll try. Is it FC Luzern? Oh,
Luzern. Okay.
Yes. Is that me?
No. That's incorrect. All right. Because you both had two guesses so far, I'm going to give you another hint. The Swiss team and the Belgium team, you'll both definitely be able to name. They're two clubs you'd know there. But Anthony, you're going to get another hint here. There's also a Portuguese team who've done this.
Okay. I'll go for the Portuguese team. I'll go Young Boys.
We have our first point. That's right, Young Boys. Really? In the 1987-88 season, they didn't register a single win.
All right.
So there you go. That's your first answer. Well done. We've actually got a point. I reckon that people get no more than two here, so that's one of them.
Right.
Andy, another country is... I'm going to give you Denmark. A Danish team has also had this poor honour. But yeah, as I said, the Belgium and Swiss team, you'll definitely be able to know the name of them. Swiss team's obviously gone now. How many Belgian teams do you know?
Have I got one? Because with Belgium, one of them, not Bruges, that's with Bruges?
He's gone for Bruges. That is correct.
No, I know it.
Club Bruges. Yeah, in 1898.
I was going to go for Royal Antwerp. Because I think the man knew was the other one I knew, but no.
Yeah, there's one older than the Belgian team, and that's the Scottish team. That one happened in 1891. right. Anthony, it's 1-1 now. I'm going to tell you there's also a Romanian team. You've done this.
I don't know many Romanian teams.
You've got a Turkish team, a Romanian team, a Portuguese team, a Danish team that you still haven't named, and others. And remember, the Turkish team is the one that's happened most recently.
I'm not sure about the Turkish team. I'm going to try and get this Scottish one. Let's. It happened in 18 something or other.
1891. I don't even know if a club's still going. Let's just have a quick look.
Right. So I won't guess Celtic or Rangers or something.
Oh, no, they're still going.
Is it East Stirling?
It is not East Stirling. I'll put it this way. If you named this Scottish club, I would pretty much call bullshit. They're very obscure.
Okay.
Oh, no, they're not still going. They folded in 1929. But hey, they're on the record. Blame football manager. This is where I got
football manager was in 1929.
Obviously not. We didn't have computers then, you moron. Why right?
It was on pen and paper.
Yeah, and another country. Another country is Austria. Austria also had a team.
Well, I was going to have a go with the Turkish one. I don't have a clue. I'm going to pick a team. I've heard one thing I think of is Kayseri.
No, it's not. I tell you what, the only two you're likely to actually know the names of these teams are the Turkish one and the Danish one. But yeah, the other country you can have, Anthony, is Ukraine. There's a Ukrainian team. Also, the Ukrainian team sounds like a moderately famous British YouTuber. There's a very strange hint for you.
Now we're wondering if we watch the same YouTube videos. That's the key question. you don't strike me as a PewDiePie fan.
he's like Swedish. He's not British.
Well, yeah. All right. You know more than I do about him.
Yeah. Likewise.
He doesn't sound English, does he?
No, I guess not. I'm gonna try this Portuguese one. Rio Ave.
No, it's not Rio Ave. Right, Andy, the last team is a Norwegian one. You might know who they are, but your probably best bet to get this is the Danish team or the Turkish team. Yeah, the Danish team is a pretty big team, actually. Well, you know, Denmark. Not the biggest one, but...
I wonder whether they're Danish or not. Midland? Have you got that?
It's not Midland.
I was trying to think if it was Norwegian or Danish.
Okay, so, right. Well, we finished that one 1-1. Hang on
I was thinking of something else for the Portuguese one. I don't know. I thought it was
Right, hang on a second. I'm just getting off our bonus question. Right, the other things you could have had. In Austria, the team is called LASK. They did in 1940. In Denmark, it's Aarhus, also known as AGF.
Yes,
it's a team people know. In Norway, it's Sandefjord. In Portugal, it's a team called Leixos, which is spelled with an X. Romania, Leixos, I think I'm pretty sure I'm pronouncing that right, but there's an X in the middle of it. Yeah. Romania is a team called Jewel, not spelled at all like that. Scotland is the Vale of Leven.
Oh, yes,
that club that dissolved before anyone's parents were even born.
In the Turkey, Portuguese, I'm going to go for Belenenses, or have you pronounced the name?
Yeah, in Turkey, Osmanlıspor. Now, they did that in 2009. That's actually one that was fairly well known. It made news back then. And the Ukrainian team is called Zerka, which is also the name of a YouTuber in the UK. That was a fun little fact I got up for that one.
Are you being paid to promote that?
Oh, no, I'm not actually being paid to promote. Right, so this week's quizzes are ending a draw.
It was Southampton then. They weren't a failure at the weekend. They finally picked up a win. First win under Mark Hughes, beating Bournemouth 2-1. What do you think of the odds of them avoiding the drop, Shane?
I don't see us doing it still. To be honest, I think the people around us have better fixtures. The only team who has worse fixtures than us is Huddersfield. But we've still got to make up 4 points to go and climb above them. Our last few games are Swansea away, Everton away is the next one, and then Man City at home. I don't see us picking up 4 points as a simple one there. So, I mean, at least we're not going to finish bottom now.
I mean, I've only got to look at the Swansea game as the game that you have to win to have a chance. Because are you a point behind Swansea?
We're a point behind. So if we beat Swansea, I think we'll do it. I think we'll stay up. Because
they've got Brighton at home and Stoke. Yeah, that's the two they've got left.
Yeah, I think if we beat Swansea, I think we can stay up because that'll just be about enough. But I don't actually see us doing that. As much as Swansea are having trouble scoring goals, we're having worse trouble scoring goals. But we've got a better goal difference than them so far because we've actually defended half decently in the competition. So if we beat them, I think we could stay up. I'm more thinking it's probably going to come down to Huddersfield because Swansea can win those other games. But I just don't see us getting 4 points. As much as it's a good sign, we obviously beat Bournemouth. We need a hell of a turnaround to go and fix that. If we go and get a point away at Everton, then I'll happily eat those words, and I'll think, actually, we've got a half-decent chance here of staying up. But I don't see it. We are so, so nervous in every game. Bournemouth, we hang on for dear life. Mm. You know, the Chelsea game, we conceded 3 goals in 9 minutes. That's how nervous we were. We conceded that first goal, and we just collapsed. You could tell the players were just crapping themselves. They didn't know what to do. Same situation with Arsenal in that game. We just didn't know what to do again there. So as much as I can see us getting a goal and thinking, right, we're in the lead here, if we concede or even look like conceding, these players have no capacity to deal with that pressure. So I can't see how we're going to do it against the likes of City or Everton away. And Swansea away with the pressure that's going to be there. Maybe we might be able to do it being the away team, but we've still got to count on them to lose their other two games. Mm. And I think that's asking a bit too much.
Mm. Well, there's a couple of big games this weekend. Looking at you've got Stoke v Palace and also the Bournemouth-Swansea game, as you mentioned. So, yeah, I think picture will be a lot clearer after it. Because it's so congested down there, so many teams could get sucked into it. It's quite difficult to call. But it's a weird one with Southampton because on paper their side is not a bottom three side, but as you say, the mentality is no confidence, as you say correctly.
It is true that we're too good to go down, but plenty of other teams have been too good to go down. Newcastle years and years ago, around when they went down the same time as us, they were too good to go down. They were massively too good to go down. Other teams have done it. We've still got a lot of players who could play for top teams. Cedric could play for a top team. Bertrand, I think he'll go to City. He's good enough for that. Tadic, even though I think he's an absolute melt and I can't understand how he's a professional footballer, I still think someone will take a chance on him and he could come good somewhere else. Mm. We have got good players, but it's the tactics for Pellegrino were awful. We didn't know what we were doing in any single game, so it's no surprise we didn't pick up any points under him. Mark Hughes, we look like we know what we're doing a little bit more. We actually know how to attack. But again, it's that mental fragility. That mental fragility wasn't there in the last couple of seasons, but being so poor this season has just put so much doubt into those players' minds, and you can't correct that. You need a summer away to be able to start dealing with that kind of thing. So yeah, we are too good to go down. There are probably seven or eight teams who have got worse squads than us in the league, but it doesn't matter. that doesn't matter at all. It's how you do over 38 games, and over 35 games so far, we have been utterly subpar. We've not been good enough to stay up. On that basis, we do deserve to go down so far.
Okay. So last week on the show, I said I might have been a bit hasty, but I said West Brom were basically down and it all seemed over. If they win both their remaining games, they'll end up on 34 points, which is one more than Swansea are currently on. It'd be some ridiculous turnaround for it to happen. Can you see it? They've been massively improved.
No, but I don't think it's going to happen for the fact that if you think Swansea's got to play Southampton. So it's not the same situation. But
yeah,
can
if
it,
we...
Can they jump either of those teams at the goal difference they've got?
If they draw...
If Swansea lose, then... They would.
If either team win, it's over. If it's a draw, West Brom could still mathematically survive.
Right.
Only on goal difference, and that would be some fantastic bullshit.
Would be fantastic, though.
See, Darren Murray will do well if they manage to survive. But I would say they're more or less down. I don't think this one's a Southampton game will end in a draw. I think one of the teams will win and send them down.
Yeah, I think as much as Jay Rodriguez has looked a lot better, and what's Darren Moore, is that his name?
Yes.
He's shown that he's more than good enough to be taking that job into next season, and I'd definitely give him a chance because, yeah, he's showing some skill to actually turn that West Brom team around. If they stayed up, it would be either match-fixing or literally magic. We would have to confirm Merlin's real. It's all real. Because they couldn't possibly be anything other than those two.
The only player that could keep them up is Harry Kane. I think he'd score enough goals because he can score that many goals that he could keep them up, maybe.
Let's take it down with Ronaldo, Kane and Messi. They can't do it. They're just relying on every other result being perfect.
Yeah. I did want to use that to get into another final discussion about Harry Kane, actually. Just wondered what your thoughts on him at the moment are, because he's getting a bit of abuse, online abuse, maybe ridicule. Firstly, there was the FA tweet where they asked Chris Smalling what was in his pocket, and he said Harry Kane, which was perhaps a bit unprofessional, but it was rather funny, I thought. And also, everyone's taking the piss out of him for taking everyone's goal.
If you say that, he clearly doesn't touch it. So why are you trying to claim something like that for? You deserve the piss took out of you for it.
Do you think we should be getting behind Harry Kane as our main English striker and being a bit more supportive of him? Or do you think it's all right to take the piss out of him, effectively?
We should support him when he's in an England shirt. When he's in a Tottenham shirt, he surely can't expect Leicester fans to start supporting him. That's absurd. And for an obvious thing, he didn't touch it. So him claiming it, of course he's going to get ridicule. You would have got ridicule 20 years ago, let alone with social media nowadays. That would have still been laughed out of it. So, and this whole thing, I think Harry Kane, it's kind of clear, in the last season and a half, he's kind of lost a bit of that boyish charm that everyone kind of liked about him. You know, I'm really humble, just happy to be here. I'm doing this well, but I'm just really happy to be here. I'm wanting to be a footballer, all of that kind of thing. He had that going for him, and everyone loved that because we're English. We like the underdog. We like the person who doesn't think everything of themselves. That's why we never really liked Ronaldo that much. But you look at him, how he sort of turned in the last season and a half, you can tell he's disconnected himself a lot more from the fans. He's a lot less in tune with it all. I think he's been absorbed into that footballing bubble, and he seems a bit of an arse now. He's going a bit the way Rooney did. Rooney started off his career. Everyone remembers it. Everyone loved Rooney. Nobody hated Rooney. Everyone thought Rooney, this is, you know, he's a down to earth lad. He's a really nice guy. But then slowly but surely, he just became more distant, more separated, more of a footballer, more of an actual footballer as we know him in this modern world. And yeah, I think he's disconnecting a little bit. And I don't like that. You look at the way he's diving about at the moment. Harry Kane, two seasons ago, wouldn't have been doing that. He wouldn't have been doing it. He wouldn't have been that cynical. He's becoming a cynical footballer. Because two seasons ago, he'd admit it, wouldn't he? You know that about Harry Kane, and he'd have turned around and gone, yeah, actually, I didn't really feel a lot of contact there. But now he's just acting like anyone else. Oh, everyone else does it. It's fine. Good. It doesn't matter how good of a player you are. If you're one of the ones who do that, you're one of the cynics. So he's a cynic now. And I think that's reflecting in a lot more in his attitude. I do know somebody who actually genuinely knows Harry Kane. He works at Tottenham. He sees him literally several times a week. You know, they're not best buddies or anything, but he said the change in his personality has been remarkable over the last couple of years. He really has been more absorbed into that footballer's lifestyle. They also say he's the most boring person they know. They don't know anyone who's more boring.
He sounds just...
Yeah, he does sound boring, but yeah. Apparently he is incredibly boring, and Dele Alli is actually quite a funny person. But I think there is a marked change in his personality. And a few years ago, can you imagine Harry Kane turning around and being like, oh, this is upsetting me. The FA shouldn't do this. He'd have laughed off. He'd have made the joke first. Yeah. It would have been on his social media instead.
People could take the mic out of me all they wanted if I was getting paid that much money. Yeah. I wouldn't care.
People take the mic out of Gordon Brown for having one eye. They'll take the mic out of anyone for anything as long as they can. Fernando Torres got called a girl simply because he was kind of pretty for a guy, and he was like one of the most successful strikers in competitions ever.
Go.
So, doesn't matter, you'll get pissed open for anything.
Do you think we should set up a Twitter account, get ahead of the curve, boring Harry Kane, because the Milner one's
done quite
well.
I was just going to suggest that from the Milner one.
Right, yeah. You can set it up, I'm not very good at the whole tweeting thing.
I'll get on the ride, Bino, and then, yeah. All right, well, thanks a lot for listening to the show. You can follow us on Twitter at V2 Sports Network. You can also check out our new Formula One podcast, The Perfect Formula, and our website, v2football.com. It's good night from me, and good night from my guests, Shane Lees and Andy Clark. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.